You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Mystery Crate. This is a special episode in that we did something on the fly because we have a very special Mystery Crate coming your way next week. Massive. But the recording time got shifted, so in order to deliver you a Mystery Crate episode this week, now it's not going to be good because, well, at least not the front end, Chris Whittingham, and that you can hear that unmistakable laugh there, because we want to try out a new social media tool called Clubhouse. Many of you may have heard about it already, but I had no real idea how to use it. This is, as me speaking to you right now, it's the first time I've ever used this app, and I'm trying to figure out if it's something that we can use for the Levitard Show with Sue Gotz and see if we can have cool social media interactions with our fans. So right now, what you are listening to is what is called a beta test. Chris Whittingham, my trusty neutral observer on the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast and now fellow shipping container mate, is with me on this ride. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, how's this going? How do I sound? I've heard the thing about Clubhouse is it usually sounds like an old transistor radio.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like you on a Zoom call from your phone. I would probably say is about the audio quality of it. I don't know what I sound like. I'm sitting in what used to be Dan's HQ. I guess you'd call this a green room. It's basically the cordoned off area of the TV studio. So I'm kind of sat here in a corner, and poor Alex Tyner has to listen to me yammer into my phone while we test out this Clubhouse thing.
Now, none of this may actually work for content, but the real goal here is to not only record an episode of Mystery Crate, which, by the way, will feature something on top of this as well. The rest of the shipping container catches up with Bruce, the famed Bruce with meat hooks for hands. So right now, I have this open Clubhouse, and it's just you and me in here, and there's another person in the room. So I've heard that Clubhouse is invite only, meaning a very small portion of the population still has access to this. In order to have access to Clubhouse, you need to be invited by someone that has access, and it grows that way, which is why it's called Clubhouse. I just started a room with you. I don't know how many followers I have on this thing. I think it's connected to your contacts, but while you and I are doing our beta tests on Clubhouse, there is someone in the room listening to what we're doing right now, and his name is Malik.
So, Malik, there's a button on the bottom of the Clubhouse that says raise hand. And then I think if he raises his hand, then you can let him in.
Yeah, he's raising his hand. Okay, I'm gonna invite Malik Sharif into our Clubhouse right now, and he's gonna talk. Hey, Malik.
Fellas.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm a big fan of the show, Mike. I followed you, I guess, when you signed up a couple of weeks ago. And I just wanted I got a notification that said you started a room. I saw Chris in here. I said, hey, let me see what these guys are up to. So, like I said, huge fan of the show, all you guys. I love what you guys are doing. Love that you set out on your own. And like I said, I'm here for the content.
Now, is this an effective way for us to reach our audience? Because this is the new hot thing. I'm on a stock that many people believe has something to do with Clubhouse. It's called Agora, and the stock skyrocketed on the inkling that Agora has something to do with Clubhouse. This is the next hot thing, but I don't really know how practical this is. The interface isn't at all that fancy, but I know that a Clubhouse session with Elon Musk went viral. Are you constantly stalking this app, or is this something that you have set to notifications and when drawn to, you go to it?
I guess I've been on here for about 2 or 3 months. Early on, there were some rooms where you could really get some good content. There was one time on Jay-Z's 50th birthday, there was a room with Just Blaze and DJ Clue and Freeway and types like Memphis Bleek, where they were all in the room just telling stories about Jay-Z, being on tour with Jay-Z. Other rappers joined in like Jadakiss and Beanie Siegel. And so it just continued to pick up that way. So then, like you said, it's connected to your social media. So if you follow someone on Instagram or if you follow someone on Twitter, then they'll ask you if you want to follow that person on Clubhouse. And like you said, it's invite only right now. So, and I think it's only for iPhone users as well. So if, like I said, if you wanted to connect with your audience, I don't know how much of the Levitard show with Stu Guy's audience is on Clubhouse. But I think that they are technologically savvy enough to like understand that this would be a great place to come to get some, because you can do this anytime, Mike. Like, this is anytime. There are people on here 24 hours a day. I get notifications from just random celebs or people that I follow at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you click into a room, there are always people on here talking, sharing stories. There's all types of stuff on here. So,
one thing that I realized, though, the audio is just suck on the app. So I don't get like great high quality recordings. What I'm doing right now is pretty crude and lo-fi in that I'm talking into a microphone while holding my cell phone over the same microphone to get the recordings. There's no master recording, which kind of makes sense because when audio leaked of the Elon Musk Clubhouse thing while the whole Reddit stock thing went off, it kind of sounded like I was listening to it through an old tin can.
Yeah, I think that the one thing is that I don't know if it's supposed to be like everyone is supposed to have access to this. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think the goal is to have everyone on the app, and then that'd be the best way to hear. Because like you guys sound fine to me. It sounds like we're just talking on the telephone, but through a recording device, I think, like you said, I think it's gonna suck. So,
well, and the other thing too is like it's hard to separate this from being essentially radio, right? Because if all of a sudden this is basically a live stream of people doing radio, then it's just radio on an app. And if it's like, I feel like the more high quality it is, like the more it loses its kind of like unique position in the marketplace, because obviously it's got this massive valuation for what it is. And I feel like the more you make it conventional, the more it kind of almost cheapens it a little. It's almost like kind of better that it is lo-fi.
How does one boost their Clubhouse follower list? Because Malik, I am truly honored that you got a notification and you immediately jumped in sight unseen without knowing what we're doing. And now, boom, you're thrust into the role of co-host of this week's Mystery Crate. But no offense, I'm kind of bummed that you're the only person that jumped in. Is this because I don't have enough cool friends? Is this because I have no way to share that I'm on Clubhouse right now? Is there a way that I could send out a link to this Clubhouse on my social media? Is it tethered that way?
I don't understand why you have 92 followers. And I see Bomani was the one that, Bomani follows you.
Yeah. So this is a cool way to, this is actually a really cool way to talk to ESPNers. Circumvent the rules.
This is a great workaround.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a perfect workaround.
Of course I have that problem of that I'm making content out of it, which isn't great. But there is no way to actually share this Clubhouse room, right?
No, I think it's only people that follow you get a notification, or if they follow you and they're in the app, they see that there's this open room where you, Malik, and myself are currently talking. But the other thing too is like some of these are scheduled, so like I have like on my docket here are the Clubhouses that are coming up later today. And I think like it's kind of like an appointment listening thing almost. And they also have like names and titles. So like they're, you know, the future of sport and those kind of things. Whereas this is just like a room that is nameless and titleless. I feel like if you did put something like Mystery Crate for tomorrow, I feel like maybe they might get a draw.
I'm going to try that.
You would have tons of people in here if you did Mystery Crate, and then you can take it and you can tweet out the link. So you can make a room, set an appointment, tweet out the link. You have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. They'll follow it. And then, you know, like today with the Twitch stream, I tweeted out the Twitch stream on my Twitter. And then I had like a couple of people, you know, click the link. I could see, you know, how Twitter lets you know. So that's another way like that you can get the notifications to everybody. Like Twitter is the main medium to do it. Through here. But like I said, you have to go and set up a...
So you have to schedule as it's going. You can't really share. Malik, maybe you can answer this. I have a random person as my icon for this app. this Clubhouse app. It's a very young looking individual who's not looking directly into the camera. He's got one of those funky 90s hats that came back in style. It's an odd logo for an app. Do you have the same thing, or is this different for everybody?
Yeah, they use a different person every couple weeks. So it's been different people throughout for Clubhouse.
There's a different Bomani that is Clubhouse famous. Because I heard the CEO of Clubhouse on CNBC talking about it, and he gave love to Bomani. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then I saw Bomani was actually on Clubhouse the second that I got an invite. I'm like, wait a second. Is Bomani Jones a high-end investor? And then Bomani told me, no, there's another Bomani. And he's been used as the logo sometimes too. So I figure that they change this icon quite a bit. Now, I've tweeted out that I'm on Clubhouse right now, and I haven't had a single additional person jump in here. But you're telling me if I schedule a Clubhouse, I can tweet out that link. I just can't tweet out the link as it's going.
Yeah, because I've been trying to do it while we're on.
All right, I'm only giving Clubhouse 3 stars right now because there's obviously something with their functionality that is lacking. And I think the problem, what it is really like they lost 2 stars because I took the ego hit of only having one person outside of my friend Chris Whittingham join my Clubhouse right now. So what is it that you like about the show right now as we're in our piracy age? If I can take the opportunity to interview you for a second, Malik, you said you watched the Twitch. We appreciate your support. Did the Twitch experience go right by you? And please give me all the honest feedback that you have. And then I'll welcome Joe into the room because, boom, your boy just quadrupled his follower list. All right. Tell me what you think about the show, Malik.
Show was great today. I enjoyed the senator that came on. I actually like it because you can really tell the comfort level you guys have right now because you're able to talk about more things than I know you kind of felt restricted on ESPN with especially political talk. And as you can see, I am a black man. I am a Muslim black man. So you guys appeal to me in some respects. A lot of the ways of your takes and the way you feel about certain subjects are the way I feel about a lot of subjects, so. I get the show. I love it. I was Diamond Hand Strong. I was in on AMC. I came out pretty well on AMC.
You though, did? I'm holding your bag. I'm holding your bag on AMC right now. There is no doubt because
you and me both get tonked on AMC.
So David Sampson, go ahead.
You have to do it's some guys on Twitter, called Atlas Trading. And that's who I follow. I don't follow anybody on Reddit. I follow Atlas Trading. It's funny. It's a guy. His name is Mr. Zach Morris, just like the Saved by the Bell.
Yeah,
character.
Yeah. I follow him.
And he got me an AMC at 268.
Wow. You're lucky. I'm holding a bag at like $13, my man.
Woo! Oh, man. I got in super early. And I think I was like everybody else. It got up to like 18, and I was like, oh, it's going to keep rising. And when it fell to about 9, I just went ahead and cashed out.
Man, I am so happy for you because David Sampson criticized me 2 weeks ago saying that what I was doing was very irresponsible. He actually called me over the weekend one time. He's like, I hope you're joking with all of this. And even if you are, you have this big responsibility. It felt like my dad talking to me, and honestly, if my dad talked to me that way, I would have just hung up, but since it's David Sampson, I wanted to hear him out because I was genuinely curious if he didn't realize what I was doing was a bit. But he did raise a point that I thought was valid, and that even if it is a bit, people are going to want to take part in it because it's making them laugh, and then you might have some people losing some real money. To which I said, if you're getting any of your stock market advice from something that is very clearly a rib, then you probably have the impulse to get yourself in a lot more financial trouble. You don't need me pushing over the edge. But was there a valid criticism in what David Sampson told me?
It was, but I mean, it's like you said, I feel if you say entertainment purposes only, then I feel like you're clear on that one.
All right, I'm gonna allow someone else to speak. Will Harris just joined us in this room. I wonder, can you decline the opportunity to speak? Hey, Will.
You can, yes.
Hey, Will, how's it going?
What's up, Mike?
You're on the air with Chris Whittingham, myself, Malik, And this is this week's episode of Mystery Crate. It's all four followers that I have on this Clubhouse app. I'm trying to figure out if it's good or not. How long have you been using Clubhouse, and do you recommend this be a way that we reach out to our fans?
Barely ever use Clubhouse. The only reason I ran over to the app because I just saw your tweet. So that's what, I probably ain't been on this app in about 2 weeks, but I saw your tweet. That's what made me come over here.
Oh, man. It's really catching fire now. Now I have a guy named Sam Hurwitz. And he wants to, well, he didn't ask to speak, but I'm going to invite him to speak. Hey, Sam, can you hear me? Oh, this isn't going well. I think he declined speaking.
Yeah, some people can decide they don't want to speak. That can happen.
Oh, thank you for that, Malik. So he's just watching or listening as this happens?
Well, he's just listening. Sam's probably at work. He's got some headphones in, and he just wants to check in on the Clubhouse, but he can't join us.
Will, what's been your favorite Clubhouse experience so far? It's certainly not this one. Were you at that Jay-Z birthday party Clubhouse thing that I'm having FOMO over?
No. Honestly, the littest ever been on his was after that Versus with Ashanti and Keisha Cole. It was lit on here the next day. But that's probably like the last time I've been on. I barely be on his app, Mike, so I can't really tell you.
Will, I saw that entire Versus, and I had a lot of questions about it. I didn't necessarily feel comfortable in talking about it. I wonder if I should go down this path. Ashanti's got hits. More hits than Keisha Cole. Keisha Cole seemed... how do I put this? Distracted, I was going to go with. Yeah, but is that an irresponsible allegation to be levied? Because, you know what? I'll put it on the commenters in that Versus. I watch every Versus. I'm such a huge fan of it. But a lot of people were saying that she was inebriated, and she did keep drinking out of a cup there. Was there something to it in the Clubhouse community afterwards? Was that the hot take?
I think she was on here the next day in one of the rooms she was talking. She's on here a lot. And I think she said herself she was a little bit tipsy. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, so then it's safe. Why did Ashanti take that long to recover from coronavirus? Because that was what nuked the initial Versus, and then it didn't happen again for like another 3.5 weeks. And I desperately wanted to see that Versus. That was one of the ones that I was looking forward to most. What was your favorite Versus?
Gucci Mane and Young Dean.
Oh, yeah, that was a moment in time. That was probably the most popular Versus ever, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
To my knowledge,
yeah. The Teddy Riley babyface one, still, for me, is tops. That's King of the Mountain. Gucci second, but Teddy Riley's first feeble attempts at the Versus experience. Well, I can't really throw stones from my glass house, being that... I'm here suffering through a Clubhouse beta test right now, sounding...
I was just going to sound... I wanted to volunteer to sound 1,000 years old. How did Versus come together? How does it exist? And how does everyone know when these are happening?
Well, does anyone want to raise their hand right now? I have four other people in the room. Sam, who... You know what, Sam? I'm not letting you in. I gave you the opportunity to speak. You left me at the altar. So I've got Morgan. Morgan wants to speak, so I'm inviting Morgan to speak, and I'm hoping Morgan has something on the Versus, on the whole Versus thing. Hey, Morgan, welcome to Mystery Crate. Can you give us an answer on the history of Versus?
Yeah, sure. So, it popped up during the pandemic. Actually, it was a little bit before that. The first one was it was Timbaland versus not DJ Clue.
Swiss Beats.
What's his name? Swiss Beats. Yeah, Timbaland, Swiss Beats.
Thank you, Will.
Just Blaze and Swiss Beats, yeah. And then they kind of took it over, and they just had like a different artist like battling each other. But the, I was going to say, you guys missed a great one, was Rick Ross 2 Chainz. That was one of my favorites. Made me feel like 2013 all over again.
Yeah.
It was just banger after banger after banger after banger for about 2 hours.
I also saw the Ludacris Nelly one. And Nelly kept having freezing internet, which Ludacris has like a very mean face. And I felt like Ludacris was just judging Nelly the entire time. But Nelly's got those are two massive hit makers. Sometimes they have these catchweight fights that are not really fair because you have an Ashanti going up against Keisha Cole. And Ashanti's always going to win in the court of popular opinion when she drops one of her several top 10 hits.
Nelly had that DirecTV Wi-Fi.
I think in this studio we also have that DirecTV Wi-Fi occasionally.
Yes, we do.
Too. That's bandwidth issues. Have you guys been enjoying the show since we've been doing it as pirates and on Twitch?
Yeah, it's been tight, dude. There's way more freedom. Sugabs can curse. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah? We've been doing South Beach sessions. We've lifted the F-word ban. How do you feel about the whole F-word thing? Malik, I'll start with you, because we don't allow the F-word on the podcast of The Levitard Show with Sue Gatz, but we allow the F-word on Mystery Crate, on South Beach Sessions, and on Supodity, and people feel very strongly about this whole F-word controversy. I don't really see the big deal. It has a similar effect when it gets beat, but people feel very strongly about their ability to hear the F-word fly, Malik. I'll begin with you.
I mean, I think it's fine, man. I think it just gives more authenticity. Like, you guys feel really, really comfortable now, man. Like, I can just tell, like, that there's, like, a burden has been lifted off of everyone's shoulders, especially Dan. I can really hear it in Dan's voice. I feel like Stu Gatz, I feel like he feels a lot better, man. And you know, definitely want to say rest in peace to his mother.
Yeah.
I know he's going through a lot. But even Billy seems a little more, not as anxious and nervous as he always has felt before, so... I think it's fucking great, to be honest.
Look at you taking advantage of the ban being lifted. It's very well done, Malik.
Mystery Crate, Mike?
No. Mystery Crate, F-words fly. Yeah.
Good.
Will, how do you feel about this?
I'm loving a new pirate show. I'm stuck. The theme song is starting to get tricky. I'm starting to learn the theme song. I'm memorizing it. I'm laughing a little bit too much at Stu Gatz using his mom's death as an excuse for being terrible sometimes. I catch myself laughing. I'm like, I shouldn't be laughing at this. And all time was like about a week or two ago when Roy had hit Chris Cody with the try me. I was crying laughing.
We appreciate that. Morgan.
None of your goddamn business.
Morgan, a lot of people are getting that song stuck in their head. And it's been, I saw it, so it's a release now on Apple Music, that Local Hour theme song that was done by one of our fans, who I get a kick out of his name every time, Christy Yamaguchi Main. Wow, I sound ancient. I'm going to scrub that from the podcast. One Christy Yamaguchi Main. Morgan, I've been considering removing the Local Hour theme song because it's, you know, it's been a minute and some people are getting annoyed by it. I understand it's podcast and people can just skip through it, but it was never my intention to make that a full-time theme song, but I enjoy it every time I listen to it. I'm starting to get a little self-conscious that people are getting annoyed by it. Your stance on this?
So I am one that skips through it. It's just a 3 30-second clips or 3 30-second clicks. You hit the 30-second thing and it flies by three times. But by the end of it, there's like 3 or 4 seconds left. I do find myself singing that part.
Should I?
It's a bit lengthy.
All right. Well, guys, I don't.
I kind of like it as a troll to keep it as long as possible. I would make it longer if I were you.
Longer?
It's funnier that way. Yeah.
How'd you feel about the set of the day long version? How'd you feel about the set of the day long version?
That was everything I wanted to be. Way too much, but it was perfect.
Yeah.
It fits you guys so well.
We're a bit extra. One day we'll go behind the bit on the set of the day. When this embargo is listed, and we can talk to Tony again.
Give the people of Clubhouse like one bit of behind the bit on long set of the day.
Behind the bit. So when Tony was a part of our team. All right. This is a Clubhouse exclusive. You guys are getting access. You and everyone that's listening to the Mystery Crate episode, I guess. But you guys get it first. All right. So it took a month and a half to put together because we were making a lot of big ass. We even asked Big Boy to do some music for it, and we were asking for production. It's you know, unseemly maybe, asking for so many favors because I'm not sure what people got back in return. But we have this show that we have to do every day, so it's not at the front of our minds, hey, get me this track, get me this track. And we wanted to go in a different direction. It was basically going to be like Fantasia, where Poppy was this host that was going to take you on a sonic journey, but Poppy is off of Zoom and the audio quality was kind of shit. And while we were putting it together, the audio quality would vary from Poppy to the track and it would just sound like mush dog shit. And I wasn't happy with that. So we decided with, you know, 12 hours to go that we were just going to make it one cohesive piece of music, which is kind of difficult to do when you don't have a music background. It's all over the place sonically. You had a country folk song, you had hip hop, you had a soul version of it. So we had to find ways to tether that. Kenny G does a sax solo that goes in beautifully to a completely different part of music. If you listen to it, it kind of sounds like by intention we made that Kenny G solo go into the last crescendo song, which I absolutely loved. But no, we pieced that together through the magic of editing. And here's how exactly it went. Tony would take the day shift on getting everybody's audio and just editing out the edges of those audios, making sure that we had clean individual files, and then piecing together the poppy stuff. And this was like a very lengthy process, to the point that I would tell him, hey, I'll handle the final cut. Just let me know when you have these final work parts ready. And it started at 7 p.m. that it was going to be ready, and it kept getting pushed back later and later. So I finally had a phone call with him, said, you know, it's about 8 o'clock right now. Let me go to sleep. I'm going to get about like 3 hours of sleep and I'll work on it the rest of the night. So 11 o'clock comes after I set my alarm for it. He's like, it's still not ready. It's still not ready. I'm like, well, can I go back to nap? And he's like, yeah. So I set my alarm for like 30 minute intervals. And then finally, like, we kept doing that song and dance, which means I didn't really get sleep because I was just sleeping in like Doctor Strange catnap type ways. About around 2 a.m., we have this mix down and I realize, oh, it's not exactly working. So I spend the next 2.5 hours trying to change completely everything that we were going to do with the set of the day and making it one cohesive piece of music as opposed to something that was broken up several times over by Poppy. And we had to like create a beat for Method Man on the fly because all we ended up getting from Method Man was a voice note, which, by the way, I'm not throwing shade at. It's amazing that he gave us a voice note, but we didn't really have a beat for it. So I had to
That's such pressure to come up with a beat for Method Man.
So what I ended up doing was looping the beat for the Trick Daddy part that we had, because just letting it go wouldn't really work. So I had to loop the beat that we had, but I had to tighten it up so it would flow with what Method Man was saying. So I ended up, it's like a crude sample machine, I ended up making a whole new beat out of an existing beat and repurposing it so it sounded like it was a Trick Daddy and Method Man song. But all that took about 2.5 hours. So basically, when we said the next day, we were flippantly saying we pulled an all-nighter. It was indeed an all-nighter, in part because we kind of changed direction once we realized the Poppy stuff wasn't working. And that is some Clubhouse exclusive shit for you all. The behind the scenes story of the sad of the day. Huh? Is that what people do on Clubhouse here? Malik, did that pass the test of Clubhouse?
That's exactly how you do it, man. You give people a little something that they're not gonna hear anywhere else. So I think you kicked ass just now. And I loved it, man. I love the stat of the extended version of the stat of the day. Like, that's my favorite part is the Method Man verse. You could tell that he was off a little bit, but it was a good verse.
Man, jeez, he's just coming.
This entire Clubhouse has been accusations of drug use.
Well, no, he meant off the beat, which was a direct shot at the sample that I created out of nowhere, which was which cut me a little deep.
I thought you meant off in another way.
Cut me a little deep. That Mayday track, I love that Mayday song. I was hoping that Mayday song was 3 minutes long. If it was, I wasn't cutting a second out of it. Mayday killed it on that track. All right, guys. Well, thank you for helping me out with this beta test. I'm not sure how it sounded because there's no way for me to rip the direct audio from it. And Chris, I don't like that the only way to do these Clubhouses is via phone. If it had a web-based application, then I could roll on great audio and find ways to reconfigure our board to make it all work, but instead it's just me crudely holding up my cell phone to the microphone. So maybe we can give feedback to the fine people over at Agora. Hopefully. God, I'm in for way too many shares of Agora right now. And let them know that this needs like a web interface.
Yeah, again, I just feel like tech people will probably just assume, no, man, it's only cool if it's on the phone. So I imagine that they will not probably be terribly receptive. We can, if we do the right planning, I feel like we can do a feed where I'm rolling on everyone talking, and then we can bury that. We can figure this out technologically.
Well, you said the right amount of planning, and here we are rushing to record a Mystery Crate because our planning sucks. We do have an interview coming up for you on this episode of Mystery Crate with Bruce. We will kick it over to the rest of the shipping container now.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Thank you, Michael. Guys, I know what you're thinking. There was nothing I needed on my Friday or my weekend more than hearing from Bruce, the former TV guy for the Dan Le Batard Show. Well, you're in luck, because we got him. And we talked to him about a lot of things. We talked to him about his massive hands, whether he ate Stu Gatz's sandwich a year or so ago. That was a big controversy on our show. His naps. Stu Gatz often claimed Bruce would be sleeping in the middle of the show. So we talked to him about all that stuff. Bruce is a great guy, a gry. And it was a lot of fun. Me, Billy, and Roy, we talked to him. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. Here it is.
Hey, Bruce.
There's a sight for sore eyes.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Bruce.
How you guys doing?
How's retirement treating you?
I got forced into a early retirement, and
oh
my God, is it great?
Well, good. I thought this was going to take a turn for the worse.
No, I play golf one day a week. I play tennis on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Pickleball on Monday, and
pickleball. Wow.
Tonight we have drinking pickleball.
Ooh, drinkle ball.
Yes. A little bit of tequila, a little bit of hitting the ball, a little bit of hitting the bottle, you know.
You're living the life, Bruce.
Yeah, my wife doesn't appreciate it because she has to still work. But
I'd be worried about falling down if I was playing pickleball.
No, Bruce is like 20 again. He got the knee surgeries out of the way.
Yep. Yeah, I got two brand new knees. How'd you guys make out? How's everybody doing?
Well, we all got fired, but we're still working around.
We're still with Dan. We're doing fine, Bruce. We're not with ESPN anymore, and we don't really have a home yet. Right now, we're in a pirate phase. Like, we're just a pirate ship out in the oceans by ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Bruce, for the people that don't know you, and you're a very popular character on our show, what did you used to do on the TV side of our show?
My title was considered a video/engineer. It was to match up the cameras to make them look all the same when we went from camera to camera. Mm-hmm. And if we run across any problems, they would holler at me first. And I had the false sense of security. Being an old man, 70 years old, I figured, they can't fire me. Well, and then the COVID virus hit, and it's like, no, we're not, we can fire you.
You're not 70, are you?
No, I'm 71.
You're 71?
You look great, man.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
Whoa.
That's good.
Bruce, I thought, and don't take this the wrong way, I thought that you were like a not in great shape, like 54-year-old. 70-something? That's awesome. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get there.
I'm not in shape 71.
No, you're in great shape 71. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. You're 71?
Yeah.
Oh, man. My God.
You look good, Bruce.
Yesterday when I went out, I played golf on Wednesdays. I had the best round of my life. I shot an 88, which wow. To me is like, that's the first time for me breaking 90 in 30 years.
Wow.
I can't believe you're 71. I thought that you were my hero before because you live in a community where you get to play pickleball and you have all these social gatherings and you're just living the life. I didn't know you were doing this at 71.
Just got a new bike.
Man,
I can go riding.
Look at you. Wow.
I really, really am enjoying life. I like the way it is now. I just, I was supposed to work for a few more years so that my wife, she's younger than I am, of course. When I pulled up to the grade school to pick her up, kids would roll.
Good for you, Bruce. I mean, you worked hard all those years. You got to 70, 71, and now you're enjoying all the hard work that you put in all those years.
I am. My wife's not, but I am.
I want to know more. Paint the picture of this retirement home. Like, I know it's a pandemic right now.
Not a retirement home. Whoa. I mean, you're making Bruce out to be like, geez.
I misspoke. I apologize. Don't mean to offend.
No, I'm not offended. It's most of the people here are retired, but there are a lot of people working yet.
You got the shuffleboard? You got a shuffleboard thing?
No. No shuffleboard. We have they call it bocce ball.
Ooh, bocce ball.
Yeah, bocce ball. 3 courts of pickleball, 5 courts of tennis, a basketball court that I don't use. Mm-hmm. And we have a gym that's, if you go into it, you're probably one of 3 people.
You have a gym that allows you to go buy a bike to ride around outside instead of a bike at the gym.
Well, there's a bike at the gym also, but that's used on the really, really hot days.
So paint the picture of the wildest night at this, you know, over 55 place. Cause like, I know back when we worked together, I'd hear about every once in a while, you'd say like this Friday, we had this themed party. This Friday, we did this. Like I know pre-pandemic, paint the picture for like the wildest night at this over 55 place.
We still weren't swingers.
There's time, Bruce. There's still time.
Yeah, man.
Right. But a good night. We used to meet once or twice a month on a Friday at the clubhouse. And it was basically bring your own bottle. And there was, at that time we shared, you know, I'd sample somebody's drink, they'd sample mine. There'd be music, we'd be dancing, and there'd be a little bit of the food was not like for a meal, but more of an appetizer type of situation.
All right.
That would go on until, you know, we'd start at 7 and it would finish around 10 because we're old. Mm-hmm. And we go home and drink some more. No,
that sounds nice. Honestly, that sounds like a nice night.
Yeah, you don't like a nice night. Yeah,
we're not too wild, but we're not dead yet.
And all right, so I got there's some things here that we've talked about on the show recently that involve you that I just want to like get your thoughts on. What is the oddest thing we ever asked you to do as part of the show?
The one that I was most uncomfortable with or embarrassed with was when I was in your room and had to dance with the girl that was our office manager. You remember she threw up the baking soda or whatever it was, or talcum powder. I mean, I'm coordinated a little bit, but I don't have a lot of rhythm, and I felt kind of embarrassed.
How much did you hate when they'd just grab you and be like, hey, Bruce, we need you to do this right now. Put on this costume. Show up on the camera. We're going to have to hold this Halloween bucket and people are going to draw names out of it.
Day when they did that.
That wasn't so bad because I was covered up. I was incognito. I was hiding behind the mask. I think the one that I remember the most was when Chris, your father got that, I don't know what it was, a double black where he was a...
Double death,
and I had the sickle, and I was going behind his head, and Mike's face on there, he was crying. He was laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah, I always felt bad. There were a couple times where, like, Mike would be like, guys, or Mike Mike would be like, Billy or Chris, go grab Bruce, and I would always go in there, like, I feel like Bruce is not going to want to do what we're asking him to do, but I always had to do it, and you were a great sport, Bruce, I have to say.
Yeah.
No, I thought I had to do it, but I don't know.
Another thing that's come up on our show about, I don't know how long ago this was, there was a sandwich of Stugatz's that disappeared. Right. And he claimed everybody, you know, he was pointing fingers, and one of the main culprits that he thought it was, and he's to this day, he always says, Bruce! It starts with the claim that he made that you were the one to eat his sandwich. Can you admit or deny that that happened?
Oh, I didn't do it, but I went along with the joke. I took him, found part of a sandwich, and I took it into him, which made him think that I was the guilty one. It was funny at the time because I laid the sandwich there and run out of the room. But I never take anybody else's food.
Bruce, do you miss Pizza Fridays? I miss Pizza Fridays.
Man, the best.
Yeah, I do, but I don't, because I would only have it like once a month. I started realizing, man, I'm getting old and fat, and this pizza's not helping me any.
You don't have to be old to be fat, Bruce.
No, I was pleasantly plump.
Bruce, you made a similar drive to Stugatz every day, didn't you?
Yeah, it took me about, once I was laid off, it took me like three days saying, gee, I hope they don't call me back, because I'm not driving down there anymore. It was 47, 48 miles one way.
Oof.
It took me, in the morning, it wasn't too bad because it was only an hour and 15 to an hour and a half. But coming home at night, there was a lot of nights that was two and a half hours.
Bruce, you have huge hands. That's something Dan often references. How did your hands get to be so big? Look at those things.
Put them both up there. If we could get like a shot, maybe hands. Like this, Bruce. Oh, wow. Yeah. Those thumbs are impressive.
They're short and fat.
have your hands been a big topic of your life prior to this job?
No.
Of course, it's a normal.
Just used to get slapped a lot, but other than that.
Another thing, Bruce, since we're just kind of checking off the list of things that come up, every once in a while, Stu Gatz would claim to see you sleeping. What's up with Bruce, the midday naps? Were you actually sleeping? Were you just kind of sitting there, not really sleeping, and Stu Gatz claims you were sleeping? Break down the midday naps.
I got into a bad habit there that I would doze off for like 5 minutes. I mean, when the show is, everything is set, I mean, you're sitting there doing nothing, just watching. The only time that you had to actually do anything is if something broke down or they did something really, went out of camera view or something like that, and the camera followed them to a different, you had to readjust something.
Right.
But no, I got in a really bad habit of dozing off for like 5 minutes. I was able to sit there with sitting up, sleeping.
No, it's a break time. So you can do whatever the hell you want during that time. It's not really like...
Yeah, I know you're supposed to, but it's like you shouldn't be sitting at your desk. You should be get away from it all and go to another different room or another place. And so you're not associated with, he's on the job sleeping.
No. I just figured that it was because of the wild nights at the house that you were dozing off there.
No, not really.
What are the naps like now, Bruce? You taking naps now?
I sure am.
None of this cat nap bullshit that's 5 minutes long. You're getting in there and you're getting like a good 30, 45 minute nap during the day.
1 hour.
One hour?
I go to bed at 11. I get up at 6:30. I go and play. Today is a Thursday. I'm in charge of, we have four tennis courts. There's 16 players. We do this round robin. You play four sets and then you move on. I come home, shower, clean up, have my breakfast. I take my clothes off. I go back to bed, sleep for an hour. It's not this little nap in front of the TV.
Yeah.
You're doing tournaments over here.
You're living the dream, man. Well, I feel like we had a great rapport, me and you, Bruce. I'd walk by, I'd say, hey, how's it going, Bruce? And then you'd say, what's up? What's going on, Flash? That'd be the end of it, but I felt like it was nice.
Yeah. I was surprised how fast you were.
Thank you. I get that a lot. Thank you, Bruce, for joining us. Do you guys have anything else for Bruce? I feel like this was good. Thank you for joining. I miss Bruce.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I miss Bruce, yeah.
Well, I miss you guys, too. Now, if we could work from home, that's better.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Bruce.
Get away from my drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could all just move the show closer to you.
There you go.
I don't have the pull to make that happen, though. Sorry, Bruce.
Anyway, thank you for joining us, Bruce.
Thanks for joining us, Bruce.
You got it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
How do I get out of this thing?
I can help you.
You hit leave.
I get you out of here. Get out of here, Bruce.